And welcome to Food for Thought. I'm Laura Mangone.
Welcome. I'm Dee Anderson.
Good morning, America. We're living in a snow globe.
I know. Is it, Brett, did it snow again? I mean, for God's sake.
Snowed yesterday a little bit. We got like 13 inches, and then we got 4 inches the next storm. Yesterday, we got a little bit more, like, you know, maybe an inch. And I think we're supposed to get more tomorrow.
Great. Like,
I think I'm done now. It looks beautiful. I've tromped around a little bit in the snow, although I have to take it easy because I'm not really, you know, God forbid I slip and there goes my new bionic hip.
Right.
I go for
You have no desire to play in the snow.
No. My it's 8 weeks today. I go for my follow-up appointment today. Yeah. It's pretty good. Kind of amazing. My hip feels great. I still have this stupid sciatic pain that I thought was going to go away with the surgery, which has not. So that's an issue, but yeah. So, should we talk about a little bit of food?
Let's talk about you. I think you have a lovely zucchini tart to discuss.
Yeah. We had a Zoom birthday party last night for a friend, and our mutual friend, Karen, and I put together little, I don't want to call them care packages, but, you know, little cocktail hour packages that we delivered to all of the homes. And we had a little, like a charcuterie tray and crackers and cupcakes. And I made a zucchini tart that was delicious. And I, you know, cut beautiful squares of it and everybody got them for, you know, how many household members there were, with little birthday hats and candy and, like, you know, fun things. And the zucchini tart was really easy and really delicious. And I've made it before. It's, you could have it for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. It's a really great brunch item that you could just have with a salad. And basically, I use store-bought puff pastry because, quite frankly, who's making puff pastry these days unless you are, you know, in the industry? And I thaw it, I spread it out, and when you purchase it, you get two nice-sized squares. So I roll them out a little bit, and I fill the bottom of a half-sheet pan or like a cookie tray. And I brush a little bit of butter on it. And then I mix up a combination of ricotta, parmesan, a couple of eggs. You could really put anything in it. You could put vegetables in it if you want. I just put some parsley in it, salt and pepper, and that's it. So basically it's a ricotta mixture, and spread that in. And then I slice discs of zucchini. Sometimes in the past I've done yellow squash. You can also do it with tomato, but you've got to cook it a little bit longer because it's juicier. And you shingle the zucchini sort of in a circular fashion or a rectangular fashion, and it looks very pretty. And then I sprinkle just a little bit of additional shredded mozzarella on top. And you bake it, and it puffs up, and the filling inside is delicious. You can cut beautiful squares of it. And
let me just ask you a question. So you shingle your zucchini and it's raw?
Yes.
You put the ricotta down first.
Yeah.
And then you shingle the zucchini on top.
Exactly.
Everything's raw at this point, including the pastry.
Everything. Yep.
Right. Okay.
And that's it. And you bake it. It does take quite a long time to bake. It takes about an hour to bake, depending on the size you're making. I mean, I made a half a sheet pan, and when it came out, I had, I cut it 5 by 4, so it had 20 pieces, and each piece was probably 4 inches by 4 inches square, but, you know, pretty deep, because between the pastry, the zucchini, and that nice layer of cheese in there, it was probably about 1.5 to 2 inches tall.
So okay.
Yeah, really yummy. Everybody
nice.
Was there.
I think this is such a a sweet thing, and also just another way to make this, you know, excruciating pandemic and not being able to be with people or have a party, mm-hmm. and just that it just adds a level of intimacy to the Zoom meeting, that everybody's
Absolutely.
Eating the same foods that were yeah. prepared by the same two women.
Yeah.
And yeah. I think it's nice. So it with was everybody great. Having cocktails and.
Yep, absolutely. Feeling a little fuzzy this morning. I had a few glasses of Pinot Grigio.
Okay.
It was great. The birthday boy was very excited. We also, I had put together a slideshow presentation with music and 120 pictures. So
wow.
It wasn't that long. It was two songs. I picked really good songs too. I did Bill Withers' Lovely Day and another one. This artist's name is Philip Phillips. You should look it up. The song is called Home, and I'm sure you'll know it, but it was really good. It was very fun. We had a nice time.
Nice. And Karen, the food thing she did was what, like a charcuterie?
It was a charcuterie. Yeah. She just did it in the little black rectangular to-go containers. And there were a couple of different cheeses. There was a cheddar. There was a brie. There was some really nice hunks of Parmigiano Reggiano. Then there were some pieces of sausage. There was a little cup of hummus. And, an assortment of crisp breads, flat breads, crackers, a couple of really yummy pretzels that were almost like butter tasting. They were delicious. Everybody was commenting on the pretzels.
Huh.
So it was great. Yeah, it was a nice little thing. And, you know, like I said, that zucchini tart is just a hit. It's,
I think I may have brought it to the studio when we were doing the show in the studio.
Yeah, I think I may have. And it's pretty, you know, when you can make it round, right. You can make it rectangular, you can make whatever shape you'd like. Right. And it's, you know, it's really good room temperature. So even though it is cheese, you know, you let it get to room temp, it's delicious. I, of course, was not running late, but I had to meet her at a specific time. So I'm counting backwards. What time do I bake it? So I took it out of the oven and I gave myself about a half an hour for it to cool before cutting it, because you want it to firm up a bit. Mm-hmm. And of course it wasn't. So I literally had a stool out in the driveway because it was a little bit windy and it's, you know, 20 degrees outside. So I had it outside cooling, like out in the middle of the driveway. It was fine. It all came together perfectly. So yeah, that
good. Good.
Yeah, I did actually a ton of cooking. Annie's kids are coming down this weekend. They are all getting they all got their tests yesterday. So it's standard protocol. Whenever they come, they go and get a, I keep calling it a CBD test. It's not a CBD test. It's the good coronavirus test. So they're coming down. So obviously when they come.
Okay. Let me uh-huh. ask you though. I mean, yeah. you know, I've heard about, you know, these family events where everybody gets tested mm-hmm. Before they come, and people have gotten it because they, let's say they were tested and there was exposure, but they weren't, they weren't
quarantine
showing the disease yet.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, a couple of days later, you know, so how
well
far
they are pretty, they really, I have to say, all of them are very conscientious. From even before this all started, they've all been, I think, you know, Annie, like myself, has had a little bit of germophobic tendencies. So okay. that has been passed on to them. So really they're hand washers, they're germ conscious. So they, when they get their tests, then they don't see anyone. Then they're basically quarantined, you know,
right.
they're in their homes. They don't go anywhere. All of them are working from home. So they don't see anybody.
Right.
Yeah. And, okay. and I'll be honest. I mean, we've changed, like we're not, you know, we don't sit as close as we used to sit. we're still affectionate, but we're not like hugging or, you know, sitting next to each other as much as we used to. You know, we are mm-hmm. still being respectful of it. So we'll see. Anyway, it means I did a ton of cooking over the past 3 days because, you know, kids are coming home, get all kinds of food staples in the house. Mario and I usually have an empty refrigerator, basically. I made a giant pot of marinara or sauce, gravy, as my mother would say, with mm-hmm. turkey meatballs and sausage. And I made eggplant parm, which we're going to have tonight. I'm going to make chicken parm. They all said they feel like eating Italian. So I'm doing a different chicken parm recipe. Generally, when I make chicken parm, I never bread it, ever. No, I don't. My mother never did it either. I don't know. It's really? Just, it's extra calories. It's, I don't know. We never did when growing up. My mom would just.
But you bred the eggplant. Right?
No, I don't.
No.
Nope. Interesting. I don't. I roast the eggplant. I slice it lengthwise so I have long, round pieces, not, you know, sliced across. They're not discs. They're long pieces. And I put a little bit of olive oil on a cookie sheet, and I put the eggplant on it, sprinkle a little olive oil on top, a little bit of salt and pepper, and I roast them. And then take them out, let them cool, and then I just assemble it with marinara and mozzarella, parmesan. That's it.
So it's almost like the skinny version that I do, which is for eggplant parm. And that's everything that you just said, except for the mozzarella cheese. I just use a little bit of parmesan because I'm trying to also watch the fat. And you still get all of this incredible flavors and, you know, the experience of eggplant parm, but without like a fraction of the fat. But I be happy to add the mozzarella.
Right. Of course.
For a special occasion.
Who wouldn't? So the chicken, no, my mom would just brown. So a chicken breast, she would cut lengthwise. So she'd have two thinner, basically breast size pieces. And she would salt and pepper them and just brown them real quickly. And put them in a dish of marinara, put a little bit of marinara and some cheese on top, and that was it. We never had fried food, ever. I can't even think of one item that she ever would have fried. She would pan.
And this must have been like something specific to your family. I mean, this wasn't like a regional Italian thing.
I've never
heard of that.
No, I don't think so. And most... like even, you know, my mother-in-law, a lot of Italians that I know always bred their eggplant parm, always bred their chicken.
Right.
But I never did. My mom never did, so I never did. But I decided, I was looking through chicken parm recipes. I'm like, you know, mine's kind of boring. I mean, I love it, but it's delicious. But, and since we were being so healthy with the eggplant, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to make fried. So I was looking at recipes, and right now I have in the refrigerator in a giant Ziploc bag, I mixed up some eggs, garlic, crushed garlic, salt and pepper, and I put my chicken breasts in it, and it's sort of been marinating in that overnight. And then I'm going to make a mixture of breadcrumbs, which is basically like Italian breadcrumbs. I put Parmesan cheese. I put some garlic. I put parsley and half breadcrumbs, half panko breadcrumbs.
Okay.
And more parm. And I'm going to, you know, dip them or dredge them and fry them up. Not deep fry, but, you know. Pan fry, maybe a half an inch of oil. Certainly not deep frying.
Olive oil?
Probably. Although, such a waste of olive oil. I have to get cheaper olive oil. you know, because extra virgin.
How about just use a neutral oil, like a peanut oil or something?
Yeah, I could do that.
Get it at a higher temperature too.
Yeah, exactly. And then I'm going to put them on a rack so they sort of dry out and drain. You know, I don't want them to be oily. But if you do things at the right temperature, the oil just fries things. It doesn't get absorbed.
Right.
And then
now this is interesting. The most interesting aspect of this recipe to me is the fact that you're marinating the chicken breast that in the egg with what else was in it? Salt, pepper, garlic.
That's it. Egg, salt, pepper, garlic, and it's, you know, it's just the flavor is being absorbed by the chicken, as well as a little bit of moisture, so it's not quite brining. But you know, anytime you put protein in a liquid of any sort, it's going to absorb into it and then it'll retain that moisture. So then after that, I'm just going to, you know, dot a little marinara on the top of them, but I'm going to leave the crisp, you know, shown when I put the sauce on. I'm not smothering it.
Right.
And I have fresh. And I have fresh mozzarella. Yeah, that's the other thing. Like when we had my mom's, it was smothered because there wasn't any breading on it to get soggy. It was just, you know, and delicious.
Right.
So, yeah.
All right. Well, we're running out of time. When we come back, I have a Mexican dish that I had actually never heard of. I'm sure you have because you usually have heard of everything.
No.
But I've never made it and I'm trying to buy the ingredients right now. In my ShopRite cart, and I need some advice.
Okay. We'll be right back.
Attorney spokesperson. Are you over the age of 60 and been diagnosed with lung cancer? If so, you and your family may qualify for a cash award. Our experienced attorneys are standing by to evaluate whether you have a lung cancer claim that qualifies you for a cash award. The consultation is absolutely free, and there is no risk and no money out of pocket. We only receive a fee when we secure you and your family a settlement. 250,000 people are diagnosed with lung cancer every year. You're not alone in this battle. We can help make sure that you and your family are financially safe and that medical expenses are covered. Again, if you've been diagnosed with lung cancer and are over age 60, call now. Don't delay. There are deadlines for filing claims. We're standing by 24/7. Call us at 1-855-398-1754. 1-855-398-1754. That's 1-855-398-1754. Attorney Advertising. William Stephacker Jr. is the attorney responsible for this ad. Main office, Granton, Pennsylvania. May not be available in all states.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Generic Sildenafil allows you to save up to $650 on Viagra. Why pay name brand prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get the same results for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 50 generic Sildenafil pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $750 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill for the name brand again. Get generic Sildenafil for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-590-0443 today and save up to $650 and get 50 pills for just $99. Generic Sildenafil is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting to take your call now. Call 800-590-0443. That's 800-590-0443. Again, 800-590-0443.
And welcome back.
Welcome back.
Talk Mexican to me.
Well, before I go into my Mexican dish, I'm sitting here. See this?
Yeah.
It's a bowl of lupini beans.
I know. We had the conversation about lupini beans.
Yes.
Refresh my memory. How do you're cooking them? You're soaking them? What are you doing with them?
Well, no, because apparently lupini beans have to be handled in a very precise way because they can be toxic if you don't prepare them well. So I didn't really want to. Yeah, I don't. I I can't remember where I heard that, but I must have read it somewhere. So I felt more comfortable just getting a jar of lupini beans.
Oh, okay.
But they were not marinated in anything. So what I just did was I added some apple cider vinegar because I'm on a huge ACV kick right now. I'm consuming 2 tablespoons a day. And I've been pretty religious about it for a couple of weeks.
Mario takes it every day also.
Yeah, the health benefits are just too amazing not to.
I can't bring myself. I can't.
I know. I'm really glad that I have figured out a way to make it more palatable because it is, in the past, the reason why I stopped the routine is because it's so unpleasant.
Well, the reason I can't even smell it is because, and this is kind of gross, but I had shingles a few years ago, and apple cider vinegar is basically the cure, not the cure. Obviously, I had to also, you know, I was on antibiotics, I was on medication, but I had compresses of apple cider vinegar on the area, and just the smell of it has given me like a complex. I can't even smell it.
Really?
Yeah. It just,
I've started to have it in decaffeinated green tea with 2 packets of stevia.
Okay.
And because it's in a hot tea with the stevia,
right,
it's much more palatable and I can get it down. So anyway.
Okay.
Into my lupini beans, because I'm on this ACV kick,
right,
is apple cider vinegar, crushed garlic, crushed red pepper flakes, and I wound up putting in a bunch of miso because I'm also on a fermented foods kick. So
you are the healthiest person in Phillipsburg, New Jersey right now.
Yeah, except for all the smoking and drinking. Yeah. Except for that, I'm like amazingly healthy. Right. sometimes I feel like, I mean, I've said this to Dawn too.
Okay, you have to stop eating now.
Okay.
Get that bowl away from you.
All right. Whatever.
I know it's hard. If something's sitting in front of you, it's hard not to eat.
I know. Well, next time I'll get away from the mic when I have a bite. But a lot of these crazy healthy things I do, I think, is to counteract some of the not so great things I do. You know, the cigarettes really, I've been pretty good about keeping it to about 3 a day. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I you know, sometimes I do more than that. Sometimes I do 2, you know.
Right.
Anyway, so the miso is in there for my fermented. And I think I had a failed pickles last week.
Oh,
I failed.
I remember. Pickles. Yeah, I remember you had made them. It didn't work.
And I think the reason they failed is because I forgot that in the recipe, it called for not distilled water, so some kind of special water, because apparently if you use tap water,
there could be bacteria.
There could be something in the tap water that will counteract the fermentation process.
Right.
I never really got any bubbles.
Right.
You know, and so when I tasted the pickles after a week, I noticed, you know, there's not really the bubble action that I'm supposed to be seeing. Uh-huh. And I tasted them and they didn't taste quite like pickles. So.
Oh.
I think I failed.
So all right. Well, try again.
Giant bowl of failed pickles in my refrigerator. I guess I'll eat them anyway. But
Well, you could make some, you know, do what we always do, turn it into something else.
Right. Make a salad out of it or something.
Throw them in salads or.
Put them in salads. I can even mix them up with this lupini beans because the lupini beans, I'm loving because they don't have very many carbs at all, which is
right.
Nice.
And so what was the Mexican dish that you were
No, I'm sure you've heard. I'm sure you've heard of it. It's Birria, B-I-R-R-I-A.
B-I-R-R-I-A. No.
Did I actually?
You stumped. Birria de Reis. You stumped me.
Wow. Okay. Good. Okay.
Where Birria. Where did you read about this?
New York Times Cooking.
Mm-hmm.
So what it is, it's a regional stew from Mexico. It's according to this article, it saw a meteoric rise in popularity recently as a soupy style made with beef, popularized by birria vendors in Tijuana.
Huh.
The chef Joseph Centino, who grew up eating beef and goat birria in Texas, makes a delicious, thickly sauced version based on his grandma's recipe. So what it is in it is poblano chilies, which are roasted and peeled, and guajillo chilies. Now, I believe guajillo chilies are just the big dried red chilies, right?
That you get. Giant ones, yeah. The ones that you usually see draped everywhere, yes.
Yes, and this recipe calls for a 5 pounds of a bone-in beef shoulder, cut into large pieces, or you could use goat or lamb stew cuts that are on the bone. Yeah, me too. Sea salt, oil, onion, crushed tomatoes, a little bit of white vinegar, garlic cloves. This one shocked me. 2 teaspoons of grated fresh ginger. I've never seen grated fresh ginger in a Mexican recipe. Have you?
No, I have not.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Dried oregano, toasted white sesame seeds, cumin, garlic, cinnamon stick, bay leaves, fresh cilantro, and lime wedges.
Sounds good. And it's a braise.
It's a low and slow. You have to brown the meat. You have to
glaze the pan, probably.
Yeah, you also have to. They want you to cook the chilies, not the poblanos, the other ones, the guajillo chilies. Put them in a hot skillet and toast them about for 15 seconds, turning once. Is that the way you prepare those chilies when you use them?
I usually steep them. You know, I rehydrate them. Yeah.
Right. So it says, I've never done this first step, which is like to toast them.
Right.
But I guess I'll try it for this one, to toast them. And then after you toast them, you add 2 cups of hot water to help them soften.
Right. I mean, it makes sense. You toast other herbs, especially in Indian cuisine. You know, you're toasting everything before you use it.
So after, you sear the meat all over with salted meat. You saute the onion. Then you add the tomatoes, vinegar, garlic, ginger, oregano, sesame seeds, cumin, cloves. You put all this stuff in a blender, with your chopped poblanos, toasted guajillo chilies, and you puree it until it's smooth. So it's kind of the stew as it's pictured. I know you can't see the picture, but it looks like a very monochromatic, puree.
Right. Okay.
As opposed to being chunks of vegetables and stuff like that. And it's got a really nice, the color is sort of, intensely red, if not like a brick red. It's hard to describe. But I'm totally going to make it this weekend if I can figure out how to get those chilies in my ShopRite cart.
Sounds good. Sounds like you might be headed to a Mexican market, though, right? Have you seen stuff?
I have seen them. If you go to it's almost like a special spice section. I'm sure it's in every shop, right? It's a special spice section that's like purely Mexican
or Latin.
Have you ever come across Latin? Where it's like the Latin. Achiote and the
Well, yeah, it's in the Asian / Latin aisle.
Right, the international aisle. So you're just reminding me. Now, the one thing I love doing ShopRite from home now. We never have to go in the grocery store, right?
Yeah.
But the tricky thing is sometimes finding the product that you want, because if you don't put in the right search term or some things don't show up at all. So I've actually, like the vegan mayonnaise that I like to get, it wasn't showing up no matter what I did for a search. So I just ordered the regular mayonnaise, but I made a note that said, please, what I really want is this, but I couldn't find it. So sometimes that works, but sometimes it doesn't. And sometimes, you get like a shitty person doing your shopping, and if they can't find it or they don't know what it is, they're just like, we're not doing that. But, there'll be like five things missing or out of stock. And they weren't out of stock for celery.
That's so funny. So, I haven't been doing it since, almost for a year now, but prior to that I was doing, I was a shopper. I was doing the
shopping. Oh, that's right.
Shopping, remember?
Shopper.
Yeah. So it's basically the same thing. And people, it's so funny. I used to be so fastidious about when people would write notes, I would not be the person that just took a glance. And if I didn't see it, oh, screw it. I'm not going to look for it. I was like, I'm going to find this item. It was like a mission.
Right.
And that's the person you hope you get when you place your, I used to do ShopRite from home all the time. And actually the one feature that I loved about it is that you could save. I had so many shopping lists saved. Like I had, if it was a summer weekend or, guests coming, and it was literally like one click, and I would have all of the items that I normally would, go and purchase if I had people coming for the weekend, or if I had, certain people coming for the weekend and I knew I wanted to have their favorite items in the house. I've used those notes, and I've probably driven a ton of shoppers crazy, because same thing. If you don't see it, it's like, okay, I know I put this in my cart, but I really want this. And I know it's in I know it's in the aisle where the Asian and Latin stuff is. And like, you could just describe the whole thing.
Right. Well, I didn't even know that this feature existed, where you could have like a grocery list that you save and then click.
I love it.
Oh man.
I know. Yeah. I have, and again, I have not been doing it from this shop right near me, but when we were up in Flemington or shopping in Flemington, I literally have probably a dozen lists on my, on the account. It's kind of convenient that it saves it, because then it's like, or I had a few of them that were like, lasagna stuff. So it was like everything I needed if I was going to make a big batch of lasagna. Chicken noodle soup prep, or great feature. We're giving
that
a shout
a
out for ShopRite.
I'm glad you just told me about this amazing feature that I knew nothing about. But anyway, I am going to attempt to make this weekend if I can get all of the ingredients. And I haven't had red meat in a very long time, so I'm not going to feel guilty about that.
No, absolutely not. And are you going to make it with beef, or are you going to make it with goat?
Well, I never see goat.
It's in the frozen section.
Oh, it is?
Yep. It is. It is here in this shop, right? It's in the frozen section. Usually by the meats, there's a frozen area. I'm sorry, that was confusing. So there's the frozen section where all the frozen items are. And then by the meat section, there's a separate freezer that's just meat. And it's usually in there. And I've used it in the past. I've made curried goat. I've made, what did I make? I made something. Oh, I made, I used it for tacos once. My friends from Guatemala were coming, and they eat a lot of goat down there. So I wanted to make goat, but I wanted to do, for a crowd, I was making tacos with different fillings and toppings. And yeah.
I've only had goat for the first time very recently. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why. It was just a very recent thing. And I was expecting it to be just so much stronger tasting than lamb. And it really wasn't.
No, it's not. It's very lamb-like. It's almost, I think, a little milder than lamb. And we always ate a lot of lamb. We had lamb often. Usually when my dad was out for dinner, like whether he was at a meeting or he was coming home late, or because he never liked lamb, because apparently in the Navy, they got a lot of lamb, or I should say mutton. Because it was preserved. And my dad just never liked it. But my mother and I, still to this day, I love my mother-in-law. My mother-in-law makes lamb chops probably once a week. We make lamb chops once in a while. I like a lamb, you know.
What kind of lamb chops are you? Do you do the good ones, the little lollipops, or?
No, hang on. We're running out of time now. So when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about lamb. Okay.
Lamb.
Yeah.
Coming up.
We'll be back.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Are you over the age of 60 and been diagnosed with lung cancer? If so, you and your family may qualify for a cash award. We can help make sure that you and your family are financially safe and medical expenses are covered. If you've been diagnosed with lung cancer and are over 60, call 24/7 1-855-398-1754. 1-855-398-1754. Attorney Advertising. William Stephacker Jr. is the attorney responsible for this ad. Main office, Granton, Pennsylvania. May not be available in all states.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Generic Sildenafil allows you to save up to $650 on Viagra. Why pay name brand prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get the same results for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 50 generic Sildenafil pills for just $99. Call 800-590-0443. That's 800-590-0443. Again, 800-590-0443.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home, and you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home, as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-846-3464. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-846-3464. 800-846-3464. That's 800-846-3464.
Okay, we're back. Just lamb chops, not baby lamb chops, loin chops. So nice amount of meat.
Loin chops. Describe what a loin chop looks like. Is it the shoulder?
No, it's from the loin. It's from the torso. The loin, like a tenderloin, a loin.
Okay.
And it's a chop, and it's basically, you know, it's cut from the waist of, you know, the animal. So it's usually not as fatty. It's doesn't have a ton of muscle because, you know, if you're getting like a rump or a leg or a shank or, you know, a shoulder, they have more fibers. They're usually tougher because they're the muscles that are worked more. So it's like basically...
I'm feeling very stupid. I don't recall seeing... Like when I get lamb chops, I get either if I think about it, yeah. I think I have a choice between the shoulder chops
and loin chops or baby chops. Yeah.
The baby ones.
Yeah. There's loin chops you just basically said small, medium, and large. So the small are the baby chops. The middle size is the loin chops, and the shoulder are the larger.
Okay, maybe I've seen them and I just couldn't distinguish between the little ones and the medium ones.
No, I love it. Sometimes I'll even get like a lamb roast and I'll cut my own sections of it. Yeah. And my favorite is just marinated with olive oil, garlic, rosemary, salt and pepper, and then just probably about an hour, and I marinate that for quite some time, and maybe like a half an hour to 40 minutes before I'm going to cook it or grill it or do whatever, I put lemon on it and lemon zest.
Right.
If you put it too far, you know, it'll start to oxidize if you do it too far in advance.
Right.
You get all the garlic and the rosemary, you get those other seasonings and flavorings in there when you marinate it for a long time. And then the lemon is just like a shot of lemon. And I usually always serve lemon with lamb chops or lamb. I really do love it. I mean, I make lamb burgers. I make little teeny lamb meatballs that I usually spice sort of like a Moroccan spice. Yeah. It's good stuff. I highly, if you can find it, I would think that dish would be, you know, I think traditionally it's lamb, right? Or goat.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I might try it. I'm also thinking maybe those shoulder lamb chops would be good in a, and if I did it low and slow, like put those in a crock pot. I wonder if they'd be better.
I think they'll just pulverize. I think you need a bigger cut of, you know. And
I think it'll just
especially if you're doing it in the crock pot. You need to, if you're going to do lamb, I would get a shoulder or
bigger piece on the bone.
A bigger piece on the bone, absolutely.
All right, yeah. All right. Yeah.
Or a leg, or maybe even a boneless leg that's been tied, so it's roast like.
Okay.
I have a hard time finding. So one of the items in Uncle Joe's repertoire of foods that I make is lamb stew, and it's like one of his favorites. So I literally am making it at least once a month. And generally I try to buy a boneless leg when they're on sale, because they're pretty expensive. I mean, you could buy a leg and it's almost $50, you know, it's 40 something bucks. I prefer not to, you know, even though the price is a little bit less for bone in, it's kind of a pain in the ass. You know, you got to bone it out. There's tendons, it doesn't yield the quantity of meat that you would get if you just get a boneless. I think paying that.
I think I got a bone in leg of lamb once in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And after I went through all the work, I said, okay, not doing that again.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I used to do it all the time, because sometimes it's a dramatic, sometimes it could be $2 less a pound. I mean, sometimes it's pretty dramatic. So if you have a boneless leg, that's let's say 45, 50 bucks, the bone in leg would be like 25, 30 bucks. So it's, you know, it's a significant price difference. But I do keep not that I'm over in that meat section all that often, because basically we don't really eat too much red meat. Although I talk about it all the time, we really don't eat too much. So I keep my eye on it, because it'll be on sale. But Uncle Joe loves lamb stew, so I make it, you know, like once a month. And my mother-in-law makes lamb chops, literally, it's like a religious thing. She has them like almost every week. She'll have lamb chops one night.
Really?
We've been bringing food, or Mario brings food over to his parents, and sometimes he brings food home from them. You know, it's like we got the big food swap going on to all our households. And like the past maybe two or three times, it's been like lamb chop night. So he comes home with two little lamb chops. Kind of cute.
Anything else you're going to be cooking for this weekend? You talked about the chicken parm.
Yeah, so we're going to – I have a big thing of soup, smoked turkey. See, whenever I say this, even at work, people get confused. It's smoked turkey bacon. So it's not bacon, it's turkey bacon that is smoked. So we have a soup that is smoked turkey bacon and bean and kale, which was made last week, and I had it in the freezer, and I just pulled that out yesterday. So we're gonna have soup because they're coming tomorrow. Actually, they're coming today. They're probably gonna be here in about an hour. They're getting here
Wow.
early. Yeah, they come down. They were all work from home, so they come down early and then, start their work day here. And it's funny. It's like they come in like the white tornado and head to different rooms with their laptops, and they all are on meetings like within 10 minutes. So I have breakfast stuff. I usually make little yogurt parfaits with berries and granola just to have them in the fridge. That's an easy grab thing for them. I made guacamole, I made salsa, I made hummus. This is all just snacky stuff just to have in the fridge. I have the soup that I defrosted, so that's sort of for lunch today with a big salad. Tonight is the chicken parm and the eggplant, and I may make a little bit of pasta, maybe just, a macaroni or something, just because it goes with it.
Now, you still make your own hummus?
sometimes I did this
Okay.
time. I don't always. Sometimes I
There's so
do.
many good ones in the
Yeah,
market.
the Sabra's pretty good. I find what I make it when I'm cleaning out my pantry, like when I get on a tear, when I want to be a little bit more organized and that my pantry closet gets to be like a mess. So if I'm cleaning it out and I have lots of beans in there, I'll make it then.
Right. I'm reminded when, as we were discussing hummus, that I had a failed attempt at tomb.
Oh,
Remember my
yeah.
tomb obsession?
Yeah.
I think I have to, and it didn't bind, so
Oh.
it didn't, it was just water, it was liquid. So
Right.
I failed the emulsification process, and I forget exactly how that could have happened. I did everything, in the slow stream and all that stuff. But I'd love to find, and apparently it's only available at Trader Joe's, and they don't even call it tomb. They call it like a garlic spread or
Okay.
garlic dip, but
Huh.
it's essentially it's tomb.
It's tomb.
Yeah.
Do you have
And
a
so
Trader Joe's near you?
I do not.
Huh.
I
I
feel
might
like I
have
have
to
to.
make a little run for you. I'll go to Trader Joe's and every single time I go into my glove compartment, I still have the Better Than Broth seafood thing in there for you. So
For me.
I will take a trip this coming week. I will
Yay.
send me a list. Is there anything else you want from Trader Joe's?
Oh God, don't
I
get me
have to tell you,
started.
I don't real I've only been in Trader Joe's maybe three times. I know people like are gaga. My sister loves Trader Joe's.
So many people, I think I was in once, and I can't, and it was so long ago, I can't even remember where it was.
Yeah, I
It
don't
was in
I mean
Manhattan or something. I just happened to
I don't know
go
why
in, but I
everybody
just
loves
never
it
got
so
what the
much.
big to-do was. But occasionally you come across a product and only Trader Joe's has it, and this stuff, and they don't even call it tomb. They
So would
call
they
it
call
garlic.
it a garlic spread or a garlic, what was the other thing you said?
I have to ask my friend Volly.
Okay.
She was the one that brought it over one day, and I took a cracker and dipped it in this white, garlic dip, and I ate it. And I looked at her like my eyes got really big, and she goes, "I know, it's like crack." It's like, yeah.
I wish I liked garlic more. I like garlic just in small. I like it just a hint of garlic flavor on many things. Like
I know, it's so not Italian, but
I know. I can't. I don't know why. I didn't grow up with it.
maybe growing up with your mom maybe just wasn't heavy-handed with the garlic, and
No,
so
never.
that's right.
My grandmother either. And I can remember going with my grandparents and my parents to a restaurant in Manhattan. And I'm sure it was probably fancy because if the that we were all going out, we didn't go into the city out all that often at that point. It was probably a fancy place. And the two things I remember about it is they had a giant wheel of Parmigiano Reggiano that they sort of made the pasta in the wheel. Have you ever seen that?
Uh-uh. I have never seen that.
Yeah.
I've heard of it. I've heard of it. I've never.
Yeah. They saw, you know, butler service at the table side. They had this giant wheel. And when I say giant, I mean like 12, 24, at least 2 feet across, like a big right. wheel that was hollowed out. And they would toss, I don't know if it was carbonara or Alfredo, or they would have the hot pasta and toss the pasta in it, put it literally in the wheel, like the wheel was a bowl.
Right.
And parsley and whatever else they put in there, and they would make a big production of, you know, scraping the parm from the sides of the wheel.
Oh, so is that how it works? They scrape the parm from the, and that's
yeah,
how
they would scrape it off and then and stir it and incorporate it into your dish. I mean, it was delicious, but
I'm gonna have to put that on my list of
I'll try to find a picture and post a picture of it, because it's a thing, like, you know, some places.
Yeah, it is a thing, and you're reminding me. I've never experienced it. I would imagine it's still happening at some high-end Italian restaurants, but I would definitely like to check that out.
But the other thing that they had was, someone ordered a dish and it had garlic slivers, like all throughout the whole thing. And right. I remember, like it was yesterday, my grandmother going, like making a tisk, tisk, tisk kind of sound. Like she said, oh, it's too bad they did that to that poor chicken. Because it had so much garlic on it. Like her.
Is that a regional thing? Is that a regional thing?
I mean, her family's from Genoa, so in the north, I cannot say, you know, if it's a regional thing. I know it was her thing, so I don't
right.
know if it's just my, you know, my grandmother's family or a region, but to this day, my mom was the same way, and I'm exactly the same way. I like the flavor of garlic. Mm-hmm. I like a hint of a flavor of garlic. I don't think garlic should be used like a vegetable. Like how people put big clumps of it, or big or massive cloves. And I will say, it depends on the dish. Like when I have pasta with anchovies, I like a lot of garlic in it, but not clumps of it. I like the flavor of it. But otherwise, I just like a hint.
I'm of a totally different mindset with garlic. I feel like, one thing I do find offensive is, I mean, the difference between sauteed garlic and raw garlic is so profound,
yeah.
you know? It's, if I get a big chunk of raw garlic in a dish, I am really pissed.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I would
be horrified. Yeah, I absolutely
you
would
be horrified. I'm just a little bit annoyed, you know?
Yeah.
I feel, and Tony Bourdain would disagreed with me in his book, but when I do raw garlic, I put it in the press. Period.
I just
put it in the press because I don't want chunks of raw garlic. I want it in a press.
I always put it now, in the press, whether I'm cooking it or it's raw.
You do?
Yeah. If I'm sauteing garlic.
Yeah, because you... If you're I would never do that. So my feeling is I don't mind the slivers and a ton of them as long as it's sauteed for an appropriate period of time.
Right.
Then I mean, it just gets so mellow. I'll even use the, what about roasted garlic? Is
Man.
That,
no? I don't like
That's
it.
Like my, you don't like it.
No.
So funny how just being brought up a certain way.
Yeah, no.
Being brought up a certain way will completely determine what you have a taste for.
Yeah.
And you know, it's like, and that's interesting because I would imagine.
It's kind of a familial thing because my niece, Laura Jean, she like has an aversion to it.